Diamond Heart 7, August the 30th, 2009, afternoon session.
This afternoon, we're going to have a chance, again, as part of our usual program, to make the teachings alive for ourselves. It's one thing to know or have knowledge from what the teachers are saying. It's entirely another thing to actually live the teaching in your own body, in your own experience. Doing a little echoing up here. I don't know how it is out there. Thanks. The life practice in particular is the way that we have developed so that you have a chance to actually see what it's like to be alive with the teaching. And it involves our bodies in a way more fully than sitting and listening to the teacher talk. So, one of the things I want to point your attention to today is that your whole physical, emotional, spiritual setup is really an organ of perception for the divine. It's the means by which the vast intelligence of true nature has given itself an opportunity to experience what it's creating. So you are the eyes and the ears and the feelings of the vast beingness that is your nature. There's really no gap. The gap comes because we create these constructions in our minds, which we've been working with. And because we've been cut off or we've lost contact with that vast open beingness. So, having been cut off, the soul gets very strategic and covers up in ways that now you have a very specific understanding of, so that it can actually become a way of looking at everything in your life. Every time you get reactive, every time you sit and have an experience of any kind, or you're involved in something, it's an opportunity to take a look at really what is going on here. And sometimes, as several of you have mentioned on the weekend, it is the experience of essence arising. And other times we begin to be aware of, like, you know, there's something about this that's really not quite, doesn't feel like the truth to me, or I don't feel like I'm present in a way that's full. So we keep getting more refined in our capacity to perceive what is presence? What is being here with an emptiness that actually has a fullness in it? And what is it to be present here in a way that is really empty or deficient or lacking in some way? So before we do much more today, what I'd like us to do is to stand up and do a few simple things with me to make the experience of your body as an organ of perception more visceral, more apparent to you. We're going to do really simple and slow. Let me pick this up so I can stand up and you be able. The other thing. Yeah. All right, let me get this on first. Oops. Okay. All right, thank you. Now am I mic'd? Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, there we go. Okay. Oh, is it? All right. Yeah. How's that? All right, I'm going to have a career in TV soon. I can feel it coming. Get this mic thing down. Don't mind me. I go off like that. Okay, so first thing is, no matter what your task is today, it's always important to recognize that we have a center, yeah? And our cough helps us to stay in that center, even though many of you may not feel it yet. I know it took me a long time before I could sense the cough. So we work a lot, too, with the feet. So when you start to do whatever you're going to do today, just let yourself take a moment and, you know, like how Byron does with you, and just let your weight shift back and forth. But pay attention to what it feels like when your weight is actually moving back and forth. So, in other words, start to resist being automatic. Oh yeah, we know how to do this, okay. The automaticity is definitely the covering up of something that's real. So if you go slow and you really feel your weight's movement, and feel up your legs, and feel into your crotch, feel into your genitals. See if you can feel there the perineum and the anus and the vagina or the penis and the scrotum, the anatomy that's there. Does that move too? Can you let yourself feel that? Or like, I was raised Catholic, so it was all down there, and you didn't pay attention to it at all if you could help it. Because God knows the devil was waiting for you. So let's invite the devil in here, just moving with it. Okay, so now when you feel a sense of balance sort of side to side, then let yourself go forward and back. Again, seeing how relaxed and perceptive you can be, just feeling there's weight in this body and it moves. Yeah. And sometimes it's good to pick a spot in front of you and just kind of focus there. But let your awareness be bigger in the whole body. So now let it go circular, like side and front and side and back. Just slow and gentle till you can actually feel the feet and there's a centering in the feet. And you might have to explore, feel it, till you can find a place where it really you could come to rest. And you feel a certain balance. And it's very subtle, possibly. And as we come more toward our souls, toward our tender, essential nature, our sensitive, essential nature, we find that being gentle with ourselves, going slowly helps. Helps to bring us in touch. Okay, now when you can come to a still point, just let that happen. And in order to get the sense of the body as an organ of perception. Every bit of your body is perceiving all the time. And information is being exchanged and moved and responded to. The brain and the neural system is talking to each other, hopefully really well. When we're really healthy, that is going on all the time. When we get sick, it slows way down. So what I'd like you to do now is to stay in awareness of your feet, and then very slowly bring your arms up, very slowly, I mean really slowly, so you can feel the weight of your hands at the end of the arms and the movement in your shoulder as you're coming up, just how that's changing. You maybe can feel skin movement or clothing changing as you bring your arms up. And notice your ribs are moving. You may want to bring more breath in. Sometimes it'll bring up yawns. The body wants more oxygen. So very slowly and gently bringing the arms up, all the way up over the head if you can. And just for a few moments, feel like the whole of you, from the tips of your fingers all the way down to your feet, is perceiving. It's open and wide. It's connected with an intelligence, and it's perceiving. And see what you're getting. See what information. See if you can bring breath into it and not be afraid of what you might perceive. And when you're ready, slowly let the arms come down. And again, perceiving the movement in the body. Very subtle information. Oh, my arms are heavy. Oh, my hips don't like this. Oh, my feet. Whatever you can perceive. Now take a deep breath into your belly as deeply as you can, and on the exhale, just make the ah sound and let it all go. Ah. Now open the jaw a little further, and this time, ah sound again, and then let it all go. Ah. Now this time as you do that, see if you can perceive how the breath can be felt all the way to your toes. And as you let it out, what happens in your body? What are you perceiving? Okay, in breath. Now you're perceiving just what's here now. Is there stillness? You feel your tummy gurgling? What are you perceiving? And when you feel ready, very gently and slowly let yourself sit down. Again, being aware of each of the movements as you become seated. Slowly. Now, can you sense a centering in your body? See if you can perceive some kind of centeredness in your body. It might follow the spine as you sit. And then see if you can let that sense of that expand outward into the rest of your body and then even beyond your body. See what happens when you allow something in that realm, some expansion beyond your body. Not really trying, more perceiving, more allowing for your awareness to get bigger. First within the body and then beyond the body. When we pay attention, we're focusing awareness, and that's an invitation to our true nature to reveal something of itself to your consciousness. So the more you can be slow and paying attention, the more presence is likely to be arising, and the more likely your whole organ of perception will perceive it. Your mind will be quiet. And you'll simply notice. When presence is arising, there may be emptiness. It's not uncommon. There's a here-ness, but also an emptiness. However, when you really sense into that emptiness, it will have a sense of completion or fullness in it. Nothing missing, and yet it's totally empty. I'm sure now it makes sense to you that if you habitually avoid emptiness, you're going to miss this. And our personalities are oriented to avoid and to get away from and to cover up and fill in and do whatever it takes so that it doesn't dawn on you that you are empty by nature. However, the emptiness that is the true nature is full. So, learning to go toward holes and learning to allow yourself to feel empty, even if it's deficient, after a while, and it takes a long while, as we've been saying all weekend, this is kind of a lifetime of work called the Diamond Approach. But after a while, we're not so frightened of emptiness. And after a while, the emptiness can be perceived. Sometimes it'll feel deficient. Other times it'll feel full. But in the process, you're developing a more refined capacity to perceive. Because essence is a realm very, very different from the earth realm, or the mental realm, or the emotional realm, or the energetic realm. It's much more refined than any of the above. But many of you are already experiencing aspects of being, so you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to take a moment or two and just sit for you to be able to experience yourself as an organ of perception, breathing right here, right now. And then I'll ring the bell. And then we'll get prepared for our life practice for you to be able to continue this. Continue this. And let's see what happens. So discriminating when what you're doing or what you're feeling is filling a hole or not will come to you over time. Practice is absolutely necessary as far as I can find out. If there were an easy way to do it, I think have figured it out. But there really doesn't seem to be. It's just a sincere desire to really live the truth that you are. So one of the things in life practice is it's an excellent opportunity to allow movement to be happening, whether it's because you're vacuuming or making cards or whatever, but allow movement and thinking and the usual operation of life to be going on at the same time that you're staying true to something deeper in yourself. So we ask that you keep silence as much as possible, just because we would like to support your practice of paying attention to what's going on inside while you're doing something outside of yourself. This is a big, you know, this is not an easy task. It's an important one. But you know what? It's also not a serious task. I really want to say that to you. It is not a serious task. It's not a heavy-duty task. It can be a very light task. It can be a joyful task. It can be a labor of love that, you know, it is living and loving having experience and liking to move, and even if you're in conflict with somebody or over something, that the aliveness is there. And compassion is there, so you can be tender with them as well as you. Or you can be ferocious, like we heard yesterday, furious, going to pound something into the ground, recognizing where it's coming from inside. So I want to say that again to you. This is not serious. It's important, but it doesn't have to be serious. It can be light. So Gretchen's going to talk to us about what we have set up for today. Yes, Gretchen? Got your mic ready?
Okay. Hello? Okay. So, as Regina said, we're going to move into the life practice tasks. We're going to do three groups upstairs and two groups downstairs. So the groups that will be upstairs are the ones that require less props and tables. So that would be the needlepoint, the knitting, and then one group with a table will be the paper beads. And I just want to double check the folks with the paper beads. Can you guys carry the table up? Who are the folks with the paper beads? There's one, two, just two? Okay. Yeah.
No, we need another.
Right. Okay. So could you guys, and if you want to help, yeah, carry a table up. Yeah. And then the paper beads are just downstairs. Okay. And then downstairs will be the prayer flags and the card making. And there's already a table, one table set up, and then there's another table on the stage. So one or two folks from one of those groups can grab that table and set up the table downstairs. So those are the five groups. And then, yeah, Jim. I didn't see sanding supplies. Are they here today? Really? Okay, great. Okay, so sounds good. And Is there a core group of sanding folks that are still doing it? Who's going to do the sanding, or who wants to do the sanding? Okay, so Emily and Tad and Glenn and Farouk. Okay, along with Jim. That will be great. You guys can do the sanding. And then we need two folks to do the cleaning of the sanctuary and the lobby, including vacuuming and dusting. Is there anybody who feels inclined to do that? Michael and Mark? Okay. And then one person to do the bathrooms? Julie? Great. And a person for the kitchen. Anybody feel like cleaning the kitchen? Okay. What's your name? Liz. Liz. Okay. And just for those folks who are doing the cleaning, there's a board in the hallway you might have seen that says life practice responsibilities, and Lisa has put down a few notes that she'd like in terms of doing the kitchen, what needs to be done, and how you do it, and that sort of thing. We're not going to do weeding. There weren't any weeds out there. And so how many folks are left if everybody is in their typical group and then the folks that I just called? Okay. Is the fundraising going to continue? Rodolfo, is there stuff to do? Okay. Mary Beth? Paul? So do the four of you folks want to meet? What, Rodolfo, what do you think about the fundraising? Are you planning on meeting the whole time, or do you need... Okay. So then, Mark, you can join after you're done with them to do the sanctuary. So, Christine, did you want to make an announcement about the... Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. We're going to meet the Awaken Cafe committee, and we need to, we're thinking of two more people to add if there's anyone that feels like they want to join us in planning, then they can do that. Thanks.
Who's the committee now?
Karen, Jennifer, Brad, Delina's not here. Is there someone else?
A meeting with you and then something else, or do you do both? Just okay.
Are you going to take the whole time, you think, Christine?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All right, yeah, Rodolfo, do you want
to? Pledge that maybe we the fundraising committee meet with the Awaken Cafe in the first 10 minutes just to kind of. You know, we see where we are.
Oh, I see. That together, sense. That makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. The last time when we were up here, while we were doing the life practice and the vacuuming was going on, my allergies were responding to the dust and all the stuff being stirred up. And I think with the construction, there's probably even a lot more. So. The vacuuming may not be real conducive to people relaxing into doing life practice. So that's my comment about that.
You have an idea about how to manage to get both done? Okay, Daniel.
Okay.
Thank you, Nili.
Yeah, those tables are really heavy. I don't know how to get them up here. Seems like we could set up a bead table downstairs outside or something like that. Instead of bringing it up. Is that okay?
So those three that were going to come up are going to be outside now? Is that what you're saying?
No.
No.
Because she's with the paper beads. So it's just... I think maybe that table can just be moved outside then. Is that... Since you two are the only ones in that group?
Yeah. Okay, what about the other two that are heavy? Is
the other two are downstairs.
Right, but weren't we going to bring three up?
No, just one.
Just one. Oh, yeah. That's right. There's three things.
Then
one
the table. Other two right. groups don't need tables.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about Good. The vacuuming for the other two groups. Christine, did two extra people raise their hand for the Awakened Cafe? Okay, anybody else want to join the Awakened Cafe? Okay, so that works for now. Glenn? And what was your task before? Sanding. Okay, so just one less
you
sander.
Can do both. Okay.
Yeah. So does everybody have a job? Everybody knows what they're doing. Okay, great.
And when they move tables to set up, do they know they're also to move tables to break down? Is that?
So the folks downstairs, there's already one table set up. You can just leave that up. When you set up the other table, you can break that table down.
At the end, when we, you know, so, oh, we need a bell.
Yeah, no, I was just going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're just going to leave the downstairs the way that it looks now. So if we set up an extra table, just take that one table down, and then we'll just leave it as it is. So does anybody want to ring the bell for life practice today? What's your name?
Amy.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you how to do it. Okay. Great. That's it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm very aware of the blank spaces. Are you aware of that too? Yeah. It really affects the field when people leave and are absent. I can feel the difference. I can hear that you feel the difference. Yeah, I think maybe the... Yeah, we didn't do that. So how about, would you be willing to move up and move in? And I don't know if there's too many to make a circle, but let's see what you could create where you start to feel more... That feels fine to me. I don't know. Yeah, we'll just create a situation in which the field feels a little more coherent and connected. So as you sense your body and remember that your whole body as well as your soul is an organ of perception, you're perceiving now the environment just changed. How does it feel? Maybe you can, because it's sort of a semicircle that you created, you can kind of look around at each other. Certainly Juan can see this way, and Mark can see this way. And so, what? Oh, there! Look at our team back there. They're here too. And they, yes, thank you, Simon. Right, they have to have eyes in the back of their heads to include you guys, but they're definitely there. And let's include too, just like kind of perceiving people that aren't here that are part of our group. You see, as we work each time, the field of consciousness grows and changes, and it's either growing more open and awake, or it's growing more thick and heavy and kind of dense. So each of you is extraordinarily important to the nature of the work as it can manifest here. Each Diamond Heart is different. So Diamond Heart 7 is its own creation. And you're it. You're creating this along with your true nature. So let's talk a little bit about what you discovered as you were doing a task of one kind or another. What did you notice? Particularly, is there one area or one something that you start to be aware of that you notice that there's some repetitiveness or compulsivity or something that makes you think there's a hole involved somehow? Just even get a hint. Let's just share a little bit. Good. Dean's going to give you... Oh, no, Ted, right here in the front. Thank you. You don't want to stand up? Is it all right if she doesn't stand up, or what do you think?
Okay, Judith. This is a question from last time, actually. And it's very possibly a hole. I didn't think of it last time. But something happens to me when I'm doing something creative.
Okay.
And I kind of, I get very, I get very excited in my head.
Okay.
And I'm not really holding thoughts, but I'm making cards at the moment.
Okay.
So I sort of get this idea, and then it kind of becomes very kinesthetic, and I start to do it, and I get excited, and I kind of completely lose myself.
Okay.
And it's sometimes when I'm in the card group, I get very sort of, or you know, competitive and look around and feel more there in a sort of very mundane way. But this feels very kind of exciting and elsewhere. And it's happened to me in the past. I'm a harpsichordist, and it's happened to me in the past when I've practiced for a long time on my keyboard. Mm. I also just get completely into my sort of hands and the sound. Mm-hmm. And it's not unlike getting into meditation and sort of losing myself and becoming very quiet. It's sort of it's the opposite, but it's a little confusing to me. And I've actually talked to a couple of other people who've felt the same thing when you're doing something very creative and you're really lost in the process.
Yes.
It's not really thinking. So
no.
I'm confused about that sort of, it feels a little more attached to my ego in some way, but I'm not as self-aware, but it's more like I've got this thing and I'm chasing the dragon and it's going to be really, exciting.
Yes.
So I'm curious about that.
And creativity is kind of tricky here too, because it is so alive. The soul is creativity, basically, on the more fundamental levels. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Like when you say, I lose myself or I'm lost in it and I'm all excited, tell me a little more about what that's like.
Well, if I'm in my studio, I'm a sculptor, if I'm in my studio and I'm doing something like that and someone walks in, I actually sort of scream and jump. I'm
yes.
not completely
You're
unaware
startled.
That there's anybody in the world but me.
So it's kind of an altered state,
yes.
you could say.
Yes,
or you're in your own world
absolutely.
And that's an altered, it's not a normal, conventional
right.
body-mind thing.
Right. I sort of forget where I am, and if someone says walks in the room, I literally will sometimes jump.
Sure, yeah. It's like a child that's playing.
Yes,
you know, in that sense, the
that's
soul
right.
is so open.
That's right.
And so not thinking, and so not vigilant.
That's right.
That it's unfolding as it wishes to. You could
right.
say
it's very kinesthetic too. I think it has to do with the movement of my hands a lot, not so much in my head, but I'm just pursuing
right.
something with.
Right. For some people, it would be more in their head. For you, you're kinesthetic in a predominant way. So I would say it's important to keep looking to see. See, that may not be filling a hole in that. It might be an upwelling and an unfolding in a natural way as a musician and as a sculptress and whatever. But it bears more inquiry when you catch yourself or when, as you, instead of losing yourself in it and letting that altered state become you, so to speak, to bring more consciousness to it. Not to want to make it go away, but to see if you can use your kinestheticness, sensing your arms and legs, so in a way, you're more aware of this unfolding, this creative upwelling that's kind of taking you over, because as a child it would take you over and that's all there is. But part of our maturing is to stay conscious even without stopping that, even with that happening, to keep a certain awareness of that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find that you get more knowledgeable about the nature of the soul, not just the nature of essence.
That sounds right on, because sometimes, occasionally, I will notice I'll slip into sort of a little manic feeling with this. And
yes.
I think it's, then I become actually sort of off the ground, really. So
that's
that
right.
sounds like something that would be useful.
Right. The cough is very helpful here. If you can't get the cough, get your genitals, because that'll bring you down into the body. And play with that a little bit and see where that takes Thanks. You. But I think that will be...
Thank you.
You're welcome. Behind is Joel.
Hello. Let's see. I did not... I didn't want to share this, but I'm going to share it. I did not want to do life practice. I wasn't into doing life practice. And it's often the feeling, because it kind of feels like, okay, I do it, I'm somewhat aware, then I leave, and I lose my awareness, like daily life.
Right.
And so why even practice it? And then today, my experience going into it, knowing I did not want to do it, more so than I normally don't want to do it, and I was doing needle pointing, and... I just noticed myself doing the needlepoint and just not really committed to the process, not really committed to my awareness, not really committed to anything. And then one time the bell rang, and I noticed when I closed my eyes that tons of stuff was going on inside me.
And
there was a lot of, like, it's like doing an inquiry, and all of a sudden just everything's churning and everything's, and, like, I was really like, wow, there's a lot going on. I could be with a lot right now. And then I'm like, well, I should probably keep closing my eyes and work with this. And I said, no, I don't feel like working with it. So I went back to needle pointing mindlessly. But then I watched myself get caught by achievement and frustration. I had to redo two rows. And I was, like, focused on getting part of it done. But it didn't get done in the time I wanted to get done. But generally, so, but the whole, I mean, even, like, was watching the that stuff come up inside, I want nothing to do with it. Like, I'm done. I'm burnt out. It's been a weekend. Thank you. Goodbye. Like, I kind of felt checked out.
Yeah, not kind of.
I
That's
did.
Checked out, honey.
I'm checked out.
Let's be precise here.
And there's part of me that's like, okay, what's the hole? I don't give a shit about the holes. Okay, what kind of work can I do on this? So that's where I'm at.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And just so you guys know, my wife and I will be leaving in about 5-10 minutes because we have to go get the kids. But that's not because I'm checked out.
Isn't?
I don't think so.
I see.
We're going to leave it.
So sometimes you're checked out, and sometimes you're not checked out.
But this is fully checked out.
Yeah. So tell me more about this checked out. What's this checked out? I know when you have to go because you have children and you've got to get the person to the airport and all of that. So there's that. But tell me more about when, you know, you described it really well in terms of I don't really want to do it. I don't want to do needlepoint. Oh, then there's stuff inside. I could be working with this. No, I don't want to. It sounds like you've got about a 3-year-old in there. Mm. And that 3-year-old knows what he wants to do, and he knows what he doesn't want to do. And I know one thing he likes to do. He likes to eat. Because I see you lots of times, and you bug out of here, and you eat, and then you come back. And you may have to do that. I don't know. But I can get a sense that there's somebody inside that he wants to do what he wants to do, and he doesn't want to do needlepoint. Or life practice. Are you aware of that? So now where are you going to go for the information? Here's what you're doing. You're doing this.
Well, it's so beautiful up there.
Right. But where are you looking? Try down here.
Okay. There's definitely a part of me that doesn't want to do things sometimes.
Yeah.
So kind of a resistance to I mean, I can hear the old story. I can give you a whole old story answer.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure if I want to give the old story
right.
answer.
Yeah, we don't really need to go there. But I believe you that there is one. I get it.
Yeah. And it's not always here. I'm often somewhat open to doing a lot of things. But the life practice, like, I've done meditation, I've done mindfulness, I've done walking meditation, I've done things that are very much about specific mindfulness.
Uh-huh.
And I've sat on the cushion many, many, many thousands of times. And the reason I don't like sitting is I get up from the cushion and within seconds I feel like that wasn't worth it.
Right.
And that's why I actually don't sit anymore right now.
Right, so, that makes sense.
So say I have the same feeling with, like, when things aren't of value or, in, like,
So do you think like sitting on the cushion is a way of filling a hole? Then you get up off the cushion and...
How would it be filling a hole? Like the hole would be...
Something empty and deficient and lacking, but rather than feeling empty and deficient and lacking, you sit on a cushion and meditate. Or you get skilled at tennis, or you do whatever and put your attention on this that I want to pay attention to, so you don't really have to come here and find out, you know, you said all this stuff was...
Right.
Yeah. And our children inside usually don't want to go near that. It's like poopy, you know? And I know you can relate.
Her more than me.
Well,
I get it.
You
of
get
course.
It. Yeah, and so you're going to have that kind of resistance in there. And usually that's what we work with. But I really hear that there's a part of you that says, no, I don't want to work with that. And I'm not going to, and you can't make me. Yeah, and so that, it seems like that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that familiar, but I also could be more aware of that specific thing. I mean, there is a person who resists sitting and doing other things of that nature. And I mean, a lot of I'm in resistance because there's a person inside me who can commit to something without needing to understand why, just because you're supposed to commit.
Right,
and then
he's
there's
a
been
good
something,
boy.
Right, and there's something, or because that's what you do to get spiritually aware.
Right,
and,
but again, that's filling holes. That's
right.
In the category of filling up a hole. If you weren't good, what would you feel like? And if there was no spirituality, what would you feel like? You know, to start unpacking all that.
Okay. Like, who am I if I don't have the resistance to?
Yeah. Who is resisting?
Right.
Who doesn't want to do this? And really finding out more about that. And I think you may find some children in there. But then even beyond that, a little deeper is, yeah, well, what if there was no way to be good? What if there's no way to get A's in spirituality? Then what?
Then why the hell am I in this program?
Exactly. And you come. I mean, you and Julie have your family things to deal with, and that's a lot in itself. But you and she have been here pretty regularly, I've noticed, except when you were having a baby, literally. And so clearly there's some parts of you that want to know something about yourself and live in a more essential realness. And you've got these parts that are going, no. So that's what you get to explore now.
Excellent. Anyone want to join the no group?
Anybody else feel like that? They got any parts of you that are going, no, I don't want to do this. Yeah. That's, yeah, of course. Well, in that they may be acting out that no. That's quite likely that they're actually saying no by not being here. So thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. Jean-Ric. And we'll come over. Bye, Julie. Bye, Joel. See you next time.
Bye. Actually, I'd like to explore this topic because we started with it, and I'd like to explore my feelings around this topic because you started by saying it affects the field when people are not here.
That's right.
And that's something I often heard in group work. And one thing is that I do not have a direct experience of it myself. And often in the past, I don't know if that was your intention here, but you said it affects the field, and what's implied is it affects the field negatively. In the past, that was my experience. I don't know if that's what you meant today.
Okay, go ahead.
And I've often heard it as a veiled judgment, like these people who have left should not have left, or a belief, something that is, it affects the field, that's something you have to admit, and why don't you realize that?
Well, let me ask this
and,
to you.
And an attempt to manipulate the people who left, who wanted to leave into not leaving. So, but my question is, I don't feel this, and I'm curious about this. And
good. That sounds very good. In other words, are you telling me that when people aren't here, it doesn't matter to you?
I'm actually glad they're not here if they don't want to be here. That leaves more space for people who are interested, who wants to ask questions. And
I see.
That's kind of the way I live it.
I see. Okay. Well, that is your experience, and I appreciate that. Basically, the dilemma where I sit is that to tell you about people not here doesn't make sense because you're here. It's like the priest at Mass talking about the people who didn't come. It doesn't make any sense. But on the other hand, I would ask each of you to look, because it isn't necessarily something only I feel, but I feel the field. And I know Byron does too. And so when people come and go or come for parts and then just leave, I can feel the difference. I don't necessarily know if that's bad, but it's different. And the more we work together over time, like we have two more weekends this year, and this year is over. And it's really going fast, it seems to me. And more dealing with each of you individually at times. I deal with small groups and people in small groups. And so I've gotten to know you. And so you matter to me. And I know that's true for Byron too. The more we interact with you, the more we're engaged with you in this path. And it doesn't just end, you know, like, or begin on Sunday morning or Saturday morning and end on Sunday evening. We're thinking about you a lot and thinking about the teaching and what comes next and whatever. So there's a moving, alive field of consciousness here that each of you participates in to some degree or other. So it's about that. And I think maybe the more you, I like what you said about, well, it's sort of, if they don't want to be here, then I just appreciate that they're not here. I would agree with that. I would not want people here who don't want to be here. That's not the point. I would totally agree. And I know there's some people that have very good reasons, like Joel and Julie have a babysitting situation they have to deal with. That's real life. I'm sure Yolana and Sharif are there lots of times too. They have a baby. So they come in and out. But if you let us know, like you email Janine when you have to be out for part or all of a weekend, then we're in communication with you. It's not that we want to say, nye, nye, nye. It's more like, what's going on? Where are you? We want to feel you. So that's how I respond.
Thank you. I get the explanation, and I'm grateful for it. What I'm more interested is on the personal level. Why don't I feel something that appears obvious to many? You know, I don't have a lot of consciousness, of group consciousness, and that's been the case throughout my history. And
yes.
I'm kind of puzzled.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Your curiosity, your natural curiosity is coming up, and you're puzzled. Very good. Keep looking. Where's mine?
So it's connected to some sense of separateness.
Mm-hmm.
And aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling thin, separate and alone. And, I don't know, it's like my head saying, oh, maybe it's a defense, you know, not to feel hurt, you don't develop that sensitivity. But I'm kind of blocked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling where it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
So
So bring it down to the belly if you can. Not right now necessarily, you're not going to find an answer, but feeling your arms and legs, feeling your feet, getting yourself on your ground, feeling your belly, and just be with the questions. That's an excellent way to start. Not to push yourself, not to want anything to change or reveal right away, but just kindly being curious as you are and being interested. Why is this the way I go?
Yeah, I don't think it wants to reveal itself right now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I think Lily was next. Over here.
Lily here. This was an interesting experience for me. Usually the live practice, we go down, everything's all, we set everything up, and I'm able to just sit and be quiet and do the live practice. But this today was like it was duplicating my actual life, which is there, one of our boxes got lost, and we were searching and searching and searching, and I gave up, and then one of the other people actually dug into cardboard boxes until they found it. So, but this is, it was like it was duplicating my life full of things not working, trying to find things, drama in some way. And I think what was coming up for me was I was having difficulty going and just sitting and being in some way alone.
Mm.
So ordinarily I don't have that when everything's all set up, just going and, but when things start to get more complicated, I tend to want to then maybe connect more with people and not just be by myself.
Mm.
I could really feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, what we were supposed to do would have less connection, really. It's more of a, just a, an activity of sitting and being alone. Mm. But this was bringing up for me, that happens to me a lot, where I'll have this sense of just feeling like I need a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, I guess, is some sense of being alone or...
Mm-hmm. Or lost, the loss of something that made you feel connected, the loss of something that felt... You were connected.
Right, because I need to then have some... I don't get that into sitting on my own. So that connection... I've lost the connection somehow to myself, the ability mm-hmm. to be able to sit there and feel grounded, but doing my own thing, but feeling more alone and...
And whole.
And whole. Okay.
You know? So do you know what aspect of true nature gives us that sense of being right here and full or satisfied or complete just in right in this moment, and whatever we're doing is whatever we're doing?
This seems like a sense of groundedness.
Yes, it'll have groundedness in sometimes, particularly if it's the presence of will. The presence of will, you'll feel your belly, you'll feel grounded and right here, and you'll feel a certain sense of confidence that you can persevere, you can keep going. If you just experience presence, though, just be the here-ness, that will have a sense of enough. It's got its fullness. And it's not so much sometimes that you feel full. It sometimes is that you're not grasping for something. You just notice, oh, I'm really kind of happy to be here, just in myself, making a...
But there's the will to be able to not... If I'm feeling some sense of uneasiness or almost like... then the will is what keeps me... able to be present? Is that...
The true will give you the support to stay present and stay with that.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, that would be the will there.
But the presence is... Maybe the first part is to just be able to sit in presence.
Right, and you may have been for a little bit, and then you started to notice the other, because presence will make us feel what's missing.
Okay.
It brings the truth.
Right.
So it probably was there briefly, and then you started to feel alone, and like I need a hit, I need a contact. So it brings up what's around that hole, what's around that deficiency.
But the deficiency, though, it sounds like you're describing it's a deficiency of will, if I'm hearing you, or maybe sometimes I don't hear what...
Right. Well, I can see where what I said might be confusing. The will may well have been there to help you persevere with looking into that feeling of, I need something. Right. I'm not all right by myself here.
Right, like I'm not enough.
I'm not enough.
Yeah, I think it's maybe that's the I'm not enough.
I'm not enough. I need more. I need something. So the will, if that arises, which we sometimes don't feel, but we can get the effect of it, is you keep persevering to pay attention, breathe into it, get curious.
Okay.
So you can have like an aspect of being there, and it will reveal something about a whole.
Okay.
So it can be there. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we have black and white here. This is a complex movement toward deeper truth.
Okay, so staying with the part of the exercise that is being present.
Yes.
Even though it seemed to be chaotic to me in the way it worked out.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And to continue to persevere in looking into that chaos and wanting to understand... What's that?
Because I did feel like I was getting kind of driven out of being present just by having circumstances the way that they were.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this
That's
is
good. Keep going. Keep it on.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Over here, I think I saw your hand before.
Adele. Well, mine seems related. I was aware today, during life practice, as well as I'm aware often of wanting to be on the next color, the next row, the next finished, the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Rather than right here, wherever you are.
Not here. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
And it literally goes from, well, when I finish this color, when I finish this row, when I finish, and then it, you know, just goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So is that will, or I was resounding with some of the chaos sounded, the chaos within.
Mm-hmm. Well, will would give you the perseverance to keep looking into it, but mm-hmm. the chaos isn't the result of will.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your hunch about what that wanting the next thing, not being here and now? What's that about for you? Do you have a sense?
Yeah, anxiety.
Uh-huh. Ah, anxiety. Maybe we need to talk more about that. Because as we're coming closer, we're into the way we covered up the hole or mm-hmm. we filled the hole, and we get a little closer to the hole, anxiety is going to be there. You can bet on it. So one way that you may stay away from the anxiety is to say, oops, just a little while and I'll be on the next color. Right. So that's a little clarification that, okay, I'm avoiding anxiety. How do you feel as I say that and your head goes?
Anxious.
Anxious. All right. Now, where in your body do you feel that anxiety? Right
it
in
does,
the
yeah.
middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is it prickly, or what's its quality?
No, it's scary. It's fear.
Fear, okay. And so is it grabby? Is it kind of fear?
Well, now it feels like it's up in my chest and that my heart's beating faster, so it sort of overtakes.
Right. So you're noticing, as you pay attention, it expands. And now it's not only here, it's going up here. That's even more scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got more of it. So there's lots of parts of us that are going to go, okay, that's enough. Let's go to the next color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what happens, though, if we stay with it. And you just breathe into it, and you notice it's expanding, so it's responding to our invitation. Can you get a sense of what you're afraid of?
Well, it's interesting, because what I had written down was then I became aware of feeling like, oh, mine is really great. Oh, no, mine sucks. I mean, so literally this great to horrible.
Uh-huh.
So somehow that...
So judging.
Judging
your
it.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. So that doesn't feel particularly good, I wouldn't think.
No.
So then do you wonder, what's this judgment all about? Who's this judge? Do you have a...
My father. That's clearly, yeah.
Okay, we got our dad here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now there's you and dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an object relation. So we can tell there's a certain identity that's being kicked up here. The me isn't just me by myself, it's me, dad.
Mm.
So then you can look into that some more. What are the ways that I have my dad around? When does this judge come up, and how do I keep bringing my dad into my life inside?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next inquiry for you, to really start to unpack that identification with your dad and you.
I've been.
You've been. Okay.
Been
so can you get
life.
A sense of what happens when you don't go with dad? When you say to dad, bugger off, I don't need you. What then happens?
It brings a little more strength.
Yeah, you have to have some strength to tell him, look, Dad.
Right.
Okay. And where is that in your body?
I don't know.
Interesting. Uh-huh. So how do you know there's some strength there?
Well, I don't know that I experienced that right now, but I know that in my practice of having done that...
Okay, so let's stay here right now. It's easy for the mind to remember that you got strength one time. But what's here now?
Still fear.
Right. Yeah. That makes more sense. So the fear is expanding. And as we look into it, the mind tries to remind you of the fact that, but there was some strength once.
Mm.
But the reality is you've got a lot of fear, and it's right here. And so it takes courage to stay with that fear, to keep breathing into it. It may be very close to a hole. It may be in a hole. My God only knows, but you're going to find out if you are willing to explore that fear. Are you going to see your teacher soon?
Small group,
small
Tuesday
group.
Night.
Okay, so make it a point to do a little work in the field of the small group where there's more presence and more holding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because fear is hard. It's so bottom, you know,
right.
Down on the root, it seems. Yeah, so.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Brad.
I've just been noticing, especially over this weekend, just how much I'm checking out. I was noticing it, you know, during the teachings, you know, yesterday and this morning with Hamid. I was really noticing it this morning with Hamid. And, you know, I kept telling myself, you know, no, I you know, center arms and legs, you know, do the whole practicing. And but then, you know, I would just be gone again.
Yes.
And at one point I started, you know, thinking about this comedy sketch. This a friend sent me a video and it was really fun. And I started giggling to myself and I'm like, I can't like burst out in laughter right here. You know, I mean,
you were in another world.
I was in a totally different place.
Yeah,
totally different place. And, I have a pretty active imagination and,
so that could fill a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm also kind of wondering, you know, is it the content of what we're talking about that I'm just not wanting to deal with? You know, I mean, I certainly had a lot of reactivity towards it yesterday and even some this morning.
Right, you were definitely into the anger, the pseudo-emotion, yeah, reactivity. Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious about the checking out.
Right.
And when it happens and why it happens.
Right. So let me ask, hang on a sec. Is there anyone else here who checked out or finds checking out happening? Okay, good. It isn't just it isn't just you.
Okay,
that's important
good.
To see. That if we had the time, we could probably do a lot of talking about the ways you check out. Now, does anybody have a hunch about why you would check out with Hamid? I mean, because let's face it, everybody thinks Hamid is fantastic, right? I mean,
I didn't have the slightest idea of what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just like...
Yeah. So how could that happen? You're a bright guy, you know English, and yet you did not get what he's talking about. And some other
stuff. And I ended up just feeling totally deficient. You know, like I'm a shitty Red One student, I haven't the slightest idea of what he's talking about, and I'm checking out and I'm thinking about, you know, Little Britain sketches, you know? You know?
Right, how deficient is that?
How deficient is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So... what do you think is happening here? Can we just maybe suggest to each other what do you think is going on? Especially with checking out. What's that? What? That's the word, intolerable, huh?
Yeah.
Something's getting touched. Now, Hamid doesn't even have to open his mouth, in my experience, when he works with us sometimes as teachers. Just what he carries... is, and here's your field again, mm-hmm. is it's impulsing the field. And so if it hits on something, which could be different for every single one of us, that is in a place that is scary or it triggers something, I like the way you said that, Glenn, then our instinctual part is going to take us out. It's a defense so that we survive. Because when we get down in this level of work, it feels sometimes to the soul like it's life or death. And so, I know with some of my students, for example, they'll be working in the session, they're going along, things are opening up, and all of a sudden they'll say, it's all stopped. There's nothing happening. So we'll wait a little while, and literally, nothing happens. It shuts down every place, belly, chest, head. And that's when the instinctual has just said, that's all, folks. No more today. And it's not rational, so we can't deal with it. It's not unconscious, because it's in the moment, you're conscious of it. But we have to learn to work with those parts of ourselves. And I think you did a great job in terms of trying to practice, remembering, okay, sense my arms and legs. Sometimes you remember to be kind. And that's the best you do. You keep at it. You keep persevering. But you recognize, okay, whatever he's saying, which I can't get, is really touching some nerve in me. And it's alive. But somebody believes that it will be intolerable. I can't stand it. I will die. So sometimes then you begin to say to that part of yourself, okay, I'm willing. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to see. You start to talk to yourself because the instinctual will listen, but it isn't rational. Yeah? So we'll keep working with it. As we go, we're going more toward those depths in ourselves. And thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you.
Yeah? All right, Glenn, behind you. We'll do one more and then see where that takes us.
I want to talk a little bit about my experience of life practice over the course of time that we've been doing it and some of the choices I've made. And I think I know where I need to go back to. So, I started with the prayer flags, and for quite a number of sessions of work, I was there and not there, but in the task and kind of enjoying doing the task. And then I started getting to this place where started hating sort of this task. And then there was some weekends where I stayed sort of with it and tried to stay with it, tried to, you know, hated what I was making. I mean, there's so much that was, you know, making, rubbing too hard and the flag, the imprint getting ripped, and issues around perfection sort of getting triggered for me. And
so it was very alive in some ways. Hatred.
Yeah. Hard, but the, yes. And then I got to this place where I was like, okay, I'm sick of this task. And then there was some discussion in the group about changing. And mm-hmm. so then I went and I did beads for one time. Mm-hmm. And then I changed my own to do the sanding tasks on one time. And the biggest, and today I wasn't expecting to be in a whole meeting. I didn't realize what I was volunteering for when I went to the Waking Cafe. I didn't know exactly that it was going to be a whole, it's fine, it was, don't feel bad. So I just didn't, I didn't exactly know.
Now that was quick, wasn't it?
Well, there's, she turned around and looked at me.
I know she did, but you did a very quick assumption that she might be hurt or feel bad.
Yes, I did.
Might be a little hole in there someplace, I don't know, but.
Well, you can help me see that more clearly, so, because that was just automatic.
I did it. It was really automatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hurt her feelings. But the thing that I thought I wanted to talk about was the thing that I thought I wanted to talk about was this sense of dread.
Dread.
And emptiness and intolerability. I mean, your sort of question and response to Brett helped me kind of get more clear that that's part of what's getting triggered for me.
Yes.
And it's about a loneliness and a lack of support. And I was during the sharing, I was trying to sense into it more.
Yes.
And finding a lot of vulnerability, like grief. Shakiness and grief inside.
Yes.
And I think I need to go back to Prayerflex. I think that's sort of, you know, and I wanted to say it out loud.
Yes.
So that I can make sure that I do it. Because mm-hmm. it's very easy otherwise to mm-hmm. not step into sort of this awareness. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's the place in my life, there's so many, I shift activity. I mean, there's so many ways I avoid
right.
this particular place.
Yes.
And so I guess that's...
So good.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I wanted to talk
so
about.
So you go back to prayer flags and back to hatred and back to...
And sitting with the uncomfortable, whatever it is that feels uncomfortable, letting this be the container for it and letting... and seeing and just trying to be with the many different facets of the experience right. and see if I can actually, and what I'd like to be able to do is to open to what's underneath what feels intolerable
right.
to me. That's what feels like my goal, mm-hmm. what I'd like
okay.
to do.
Just hold the intention. You don't even have to have a goal.
Say it again.
Hold the intention to open.
Mm-hmm. Or to be present.
Opening. Yeah. To be present, that will bring openness.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
Sure.
There was somebody over here that was waving to me. Was it you? That I went next. Okay, let's do one more because it just didn't take that long. So I could do one more. And
Ezra.
Uh-huh.
I realize in the questions this morning and throughout the day that I kind of struggle with, I have this strong sense of duty to do many things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it a big part of it feels like kind of a parental figure saying, this is best for you, you have to do it.
Mm.
Or some kind of, say, a commitment to a group to get approval from a community and play my part and pull my own weight.
Mm.
And what I'm struggling with is sometimes that feels very overwhelming and invasive.
Mm.
And then other times it feels like like this morning, like I had to do something last night for a community group, and I like was really tired, and I didn't want to be tired for the whole day. But I kind of made myself get up and come and be here, you know, on time. And so I'm struggling with, like, sometimes it's like what the parent says is actually better. It's like in the long run, it is better for you. Mm-hmm. But then other times it's like very overwhelming and kind of causes injury. So I'm having, I guess, an internal dilemma of like, well, when do I say, you know, screw it, I'm going to do, you know, I'm tired, I just need to like leave. You know, mm-hmm. like in the group, I'm really tired, I need to leave. Or when do I access that will to say, all right, I'm really tired, but I'm going to stay, or I'm going to get up, or I'm going to go, or I'm going to do whatever, and move to that place of, I don't know, I guess accessing that will when my instinct tells me not to. I guess there's some mistrust of me knowing what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm having trouble distinguishing, you know. I think that's why there's a lot of doubt in the decisions that I make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's best for me? What this, you know, get up and do the duty, and that's best?
Right. Well, if you, you know how a ship uses a lighthouse to get its bearings? What is your priority? What is it? Like you say, what is best? But that's huge. And at times, like you say, getting rest is best. But other times it might be to persevere and stay the weekend, given that we only have 7 out of a whole year, and that this field isn't available anyplace else in the same way. So it's a dilemma. I can really get that. But what are you using as your guide so you know what your priorities are?
Well, I think it relates to a whole in that there's a belief that I have that I don't have a direct line between my mind or decision-making and my internal lighthouse or compass.
Uh-huh.
Saying, okay, Nora, you know, this is the way to go. And that's been a really huge force in my professional life. Like, well, I've had choices. Well, what direct, like, education, business, you know, which way to go? And it's been a huge, like, I have no idea, you know.
So you kind of lost a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are lost a lot. So now your question is, how do I know how to not be lost? How do I know how to find home? I'm not quite sure what you're really wanting to know yet.
I guess my real question is, how do I know what's real? What's me? What is authentic and what's not authentic?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Where am I false? Where is it real? Where am I authentic? Yeah. Well, if we just take what's right now, can you get a sense of what's real in that location right now?
I mean, I can feel that if, yeah, I can, I do have access to that now.
Okay.
I guess when, most of the time when there is a doubt or when there's a dilemma is when a decision actually needs to be made.
Right. So you can get the reality of I'm here, this is my body. And can you feel your belly? Are you grounded in your belly?
I'm present, I can feel my belly. I can kind of feel my genitals grounding me.
Okay.
And I feel present. I feel good and I feel present. And
okay.
I feel balanced.
And you feel balanced.
And when I guess when I think about making a decision, when I put myself in that place, or when I am in that place, I'm not there now.
Right.
The cards get thrown in the air.
I see.
And it's like,
yeah.
You
lose your body, you lose your presence, you lose your grounding.
Yeah, and even sometimes I really am conscious of it. Like, okay, close my eyes and I'll sit on it or I'll sleep on it or I'll just, you know. And it never really seems to come.
Interesting. Yeah. How are you feeling right now?
I feel good about voicing this. It's really a big thing in my life.
Yeah, I can really see that each day we have to make decisions and you go through a struggle and feel lost a lot. And you have the capacity to come right here and now and get present and grounded. So both are true, seems like. Yeah.
And every time I bring it up, it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just practice staying with it and being present. And
well, that you can do. I really get that. But it seems like you got those two things that are going on, and you go back and forth. Now you're here, now you're there, now you're here, now you're there. But it sounds like it doesn't change. You're not, something isn't happening that will help you come decisive, know what you want, know what's best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you work with your teacher on this, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any solution or any, you know, something to say, well, do this and that'll help. You know, inside of me, I get that you're able to feel presence and you're able to ground, and that's really important. And if you practice that when you're in those situations and see what happens, the method is that then you will find out what's creating the difficulty, what's in the way of your just simply settling and knowing what's best for you. What's real for you? Do you hold that question? Like, okay, let's say everything is kind of up in the air and you don't know which way to go. And do you hold the question at all to say to yourself, what's real right now here?
Not as much as I could, mm-hmm. I think. A lot of time when I'm making a decision, there's a lot of future projection.
Yes.
Like, would I like being a teacher? And then I'm like, okay, there's me in a classroom, and do I like that? And what's, you know, if I don't know, I try to make the right decision by imagining what it's going to be like, I think, so that helps.
Yes, now that's a clue.
Yeah.
You're using your imagination to try to figure something out rather than letting some guidance come from the presence or from deeper parts of you that know what you're doing here. So that's an important clue right there. So reminding you that the truth is real. And when we know the truth, even if it's not something we want to know, we feel a relief, because the truth impacts the soul by letting it relax, by letting it feel the relief of it. Like maybe somebody tells me I'm a mean, ugly bitch, and I get the truth of it. So I don't want to hear that, but there's something about the truth that can relax me. So if you say to yourself, okay, what's real here now? That may orient you away from the imagination and figuring it out and using your mind and more to the fuller organ of perception.
That helps.
That's the best I can do. Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so maybe it's time for us to think about winding up for this weekend. Did we have announcements I was supposed to make? Because I'm not remembering them if it were. I'm pretty clean. Bathrooms got cleaned and things are back. Maybe put the chairs back here.
we have doing that. I guess we're okay. Okay, bless you. So the next time we meet, oh, you had an announcement. Okay, that's what I'm remembering. And then I have one more of myself, too.
So this is an announcement related to the Awakening Cafe. Just wanted to say, first of all, thank you to everyone who helped out with the cafe, and thanks to everyone who bought food and drink. We're excited about getting going for October for our next meeting. And to that end, I have in my hand a sign-up sheet for next week, which some people have signed up for, which is really helpful. It's a huge help for us for running the cafe if we have volunteers in place. It's no obligation, but it really helps us. There's a couple of things open, and I'll just take one more moment of time to say that the morning work and lunchtime work shifts are 45 minutes, and they're really easy. You don't have to know how to do anything related to the cafe. There's people there to help you. They're a lot of fun. You get to serve. It's very nice. We also need a little bit of help at the end of the day, both on Saturday and Sunday. We call it breakdown. It's just a short bit of time to make sure the kitchen's back in order, and that just follows this. And then the one other sort of special thing would be a Sunday morning person who wants to make sandwiches. That starts a little early. We'd like to make sandwiches at 8:30 in the morning. So if anybody feels like they can do that, I'm going to leave this sheet out there and then take it home. I'll leave it out there for a little bit, then take it home. If you feel inspired, please go ahead and sign up. Thank you all. And you can also sign up on here, by the way, for food that you want to bring, and that's really helpful. Staffing is probably the biggest thing we need help with, but the food is really great, too. Okay.
She wants to say something about food by donation on the end of the day.
Oh.
On our way out.
Sure.
Sure. So there's quite a bit of food that gets left over from the weekend that's kind of out on display downstairs. It'd be awesome if we can get rid of as much as we can. So it's all just kind of by donation, whatever you feel like you want to pay. Feel free to grab something on the way out.
Great, thank you. Rodolfo, you have an announcement too.
Hello, everyone. Earlier this year, the group decided to sponsor two events, one a rummage sale and one a dance. However, nobody's really come forward to coordinate either one. And believe it or not, right under our collective nose, we have something happening organically. It's kind of smell the coffee and eat the coffee cake. So we're deciding, well, we decided as a committee, and we'd like your approval, to just get behind the Awakened Cafe, because that seems to be what is arising. Mm-hmm. And along that is to get a buy-in from the whole group that this is our project, so mm-hmm. we can get people kind of like an adob to kind of bring this effort into full power. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we're going to be checking in with this money. And one idea was to actually be a producer, because the larger committee doesn't want to invest money to bring in anybody for the larger group at this moment. So, for example, there was an entertainer of the Enneagram, and she's charging $500. We brought it up to the main committee, and they didn't want to pay that right now. So that's something that we could use from the Awakened Cafe money to decide what kind of event we want to sponsor to put up the money so we can contribute to the larger school. So that seems to be what is unfolding, and I just wanted to see what, you know, you all thought, if we should continue going down this path.
So are you asking for a vote right now, or do you want them to think about it and come back in October with the idea, or where are you?
We've done a lot of thinking, and I think the committee decided this, okay. And we just want to make sure that you're told.
Okay.
Because it seems like, you know, democracy is kind of messy because we're, you know, by the time everybody thinks about it, et cetera,
yeah.
Then it's like nothing gets done. So I'm deciding right now that this is what we're going to do because we need a leader.
Yay!
No, I'm a benevolent dictator.
So is there anybody that wants to talk against
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you think it's possible to open the Awakening Cafe to other groups?
To other groups?
8, 6, 453.
That actually came up.
Came up.
That actually came up today, and I think what we want to really hold on to is just having all of us feel like get some grounding behind this as a group. So bringing in volunteers to make this successful here, and then in the future we'll be able to kind of franchise it or, you know, come in on use it. Actually, if this is something that we all want to kind of stand behind, then this can be our vehicle. But right now, it's kind of like just kind of getting everybody to stand behind this one idea.
And Lily, a question?
I like the idea of sponsoring an event and using the money made. I think that's a good idea. I think the school and the construction, though, is going through October or something, so maybe, and usually takes a long time to plan an event, so what we might be doing here is planning an event for December or November or even January of next year. So I'd be willing to help with that. But I think there's some long lead time, and it would have something to do with the construction of the school of when it's going to be done.
Good point.
But if we have one event to focus on, sometimes that really can help to say, okay, we're going to do, this is going to be our event, this is a big event, and then get people to help and just have one thing that we're focusing on. Including the Waking Cafe.
Yep. Well, the event thing to focus on, the issue now is around construction and the fact that nobody seems to be standing up and saying they want to lead the rummage sale that we all agreed on. So, you know, we're all open to suggestions. However, we also want some sort of a proposal because the executive committee would like kind of some sort of a form, an idea of what we are presenting. You know what I mean? So if you have an idea, create a proposal around it and give it to our little committee in DH7, and then we can kind of continue to take it up to the executive committee, the larger group committee.
Because we're just going to focus on
the cafe is what's real for us, and it has energy. So keep those ideas open and bring the proposals. But for now, let's focus on the Awakened Cafe through the construction until the construction's finished.
Okay, I thought you were suggesting that we do an event like there have been some classes that were given, weekend classes, the teacher is hired, or volunteers. Mm-hmm. Maybe we would sponsor one of those, and in order to pay the instructor, then we would use the funds. So are you looking for ideas on, but we've seen some of these already, there's the money management and the anagram and stuff like that. Are you looking for a proposal with a proposal of a teacher and a topic?
Not right now. We are if you have them, but the idea is to say keep the money kind of coming for maybe next year. Then with the construction more complete, because like the Enneagram entertainer, she needs a stage, et cetera, and it seems like there's not the construction here for that. So down the road, yes, we're going to bring this money together, and we're going to determine what we want to sponsor for the larger school. So keep those ideas coming. It's just now that the Awakened Cafe is here and it's operating, and we just want everybody to stand behind it, at least start with this instead of all these other ideas that nobody seems to be stepping up to really lead.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your work, everybody. All right, now, this is the first part of, it's going to be September 1 soon, and then we don't come back together again until just about the end of October. And we've been meeting just about monthly. So this is going to be a longer break. So we want to suggest an assignment to help you stay in touch with the unfolding of the material. So basically, it's a writing assignment.
And before the next weekend, maybe let's say a week before the next weekend, write about your experience. Like today, look to see if there's one area where you begin to see that there might be a hole. There's an indication that there's anxiety, or there's a repetition, or there's some kind of sense that if you didn't do a thing or you didn't have this friend, life would be intolerable, or you would really be dysfunctional. I mean, really take a look at what things in your life have that kind of impact and see if there's one area that you can see it most clearly in. So you don't have to struggle for this. You know, look to see what comes to you clearly. And some of you have already got some hints. I get that. And then watch it. See what you can notice about when does this come up? How do you go about? What's the pattern? How do you go about preserving your sense of being lovable or a sense of being generous or likable or having fun or being creative or whatever is important to your sense of yourself and that life is doable? And then watch how you become involved with that. Just keep awareness. And you might find it helpful to just make notes each day, to jot things down. This happened today, I noticed this. And then at the end, you know, it's almost 2 months, take a look at what you journaled or how you tracked it, and then write a bit, a page or two, not long, but write about your findings and your awarenesses and what you've come in touch with. So it's intended for you to, when you have to write about something, you get in touch with it and you start to really embody it and understand it with more depth, more kinesthetic connection. And then send a copy to your small group teacher and to your individual teacher. And who from the big group? Byron, or no, Janine, I'm sorry. Yep, almost gave us a job. To Janine, and then we'll get it. Okay, is the assignment clear? Good, I sent, yes, Brad?
Can somebody make sure that the small group teachers and the individual teachers know?
Yes, I'll do that. Take responsibility for that. You're welcome. Well, Todd isn't here. There's a lot of people not here. That's true. That's true. They'll be getting the MP3s. It should be on there. That's true. Does anybody know how to? Will you? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, but you'll handle that one? Excellent. Thank you. Dean, did you have a? No. I see. Thank you. I think we're all set. Oh, I can put that in there. Yep. Okay. That's very good. See how your collective intelligence is working so nicely, so that the whole group is served. I mean, really, the universe is very much alive. And yeah. Oh, wait a minute. They want you to put it on mic.
I tried getting onto the website the other day, and I've forgotten my password. And there used to be a way to reset your password, but all I'm getting now is just a little window for me to put in my username and my password, and nothing else. I've got no way to reset my password. What was that?
Presence and still.
Microphone. Why not send an email to everybody?
With the homework.
With the homework? That's what the website's for, so
well,
we don't give ourselves another.
You need to go to the website.
Yeah, you need to do that. Other one I need to do, and I want to give myself more jobs than I've already got, thank you. So you go to the website. That's why we have one.
Okay, from an organizational standpoint, the best way to make sure that everybody in this class gets this homework assignment is to have one person send an email out the same way. We get these reminder emails.
Right.
So whoever's doing that, I think they have a job to do that. If they could just send out a reminder email the next week saying, here's the homework assignment.
Okay, so that could be Janine.
Right, and then we can all be adult enough to not need a reminder every week
right.
to do it.
Right. Byron, do you think that's okay to give that job to Janine? Or could the other thing to do, rather than putting this on Byron, is there somebody here who would take responsibility? Dean, would you? You'll remind me.
I don't. Okay, the technical thing is, I don't know that everyone is an administrator can actually send out a message. So,
right.
I don't think I can.
That's right.
Can get
so
on
it
there.
Would have
so
to
I
be
think
Janine
in a way gets,
list.
And we'd really appreciate it if she could.
If
do
she
that.
Would do that.
Yes.
All right, I have to keep that in my head too. See, these days things don't stay in my head really well. Byron, do you want to? Correct or something? Wait a minute. Dean's going to give a microphone.
I just want to say that there is a point at which we don't want to be taking care of people. Everybody has a responsibility if they're not here to listen to the MP3s, which has the assignment on it. And you can also, if you're not here, you can contact somebody who was here and get the assignment. And there is the website. So even though it's efficient in one sense to send everybody the homework, it also means that people are not stepping up to take responsibility when you're not here to find out what happened. And so I have an ambivalence about doing it, because even though it's easy for us to have the administrator do all this communication, there's also a responsibility that everybody has here to step up to take care of your own participation and your own engagement in what we're doing. And we're giving many avenues for people to find out what they need to know. But it's not, we give the assignment here to everybody who's here, but I don't really feel like it's necessary for us to also go the next step to inform everybody who wasn't here and everybody who was here but who forgets. So that's where I sit as a teacher in terms of how much to do to make it easy for everybody, as opposed to people finding the part of them that says, I wasn't there, I need to find out what happened, because it's important to me because I'm involved in this process, rather than, nobody contacted me, so I guess I don't have to do anything, and it going that way. So
yeah, thank you, that's clear. Okay, blessings. Go well. Safe trip. Oh, I will ring the bell, but I have to say goodbye first. And then I said I'll ring the bell. I just want you to know that we hold you in blessing for these 2 months until you come back for our next adventure.